It's an honor for me to be here. I've been listening very closely this morning to our Sunday school class and to the video that we saw. And I want to tell you something, folks. We need to be on our knees. We need to be seeking the wisdom of God, the power of God. For let me say this, I believe with all of my heart, He is the only one that can change the situation. It's amazing. I was really interested in Brother Don's lesson this morning about we older folks. And for some reason or another, I count myself in that category. I know our pastor up in Springfield, Missouri. I'm not there a whole lot. I'm still traveling quite a bit, preaching revivals here and there. But when I am home and I have the opportunity to preach in the church there, he always announces me like this, said, "We have our church evangelist with us today. He came over on Noah's Ark. And he's at least 105 years old." Well, I think there's something wrong with both of that. I didn't come over on Noah's Ark, and I'm not quite 105 years old. But I'm old enough to realize that God is good, and that we have a story to tell, a message to give to the world. And that's the only hope we have, folks. You cannot put our hope in this society of the world, the social organizations, politics, even our banking system. Everything the world has to offer is going to disappear. You know that? And I'm glad that we have one thing that we can have a sure foundation, and that is our faith in a person by the name of Jesus Christ. And he alone. I found this out many, many years ago, that God is still on the throne. No surprises with him. No hard cases with him. God can do what he wants to, when he wants to, and how he wants to. If we just sometimes maybe get ourselves out of the way and let him have it, we might be better off. I was amazed late yesterday evening after dark. I had a telephone call in our home, and was talking, and this will kind of go along with your lesson, Brother Don. Man used to be a young man. I think he's about 60 now. He calls me up about once or twice every year just to say thank you. And I had to cry. He said, "I remember some years ago when I was just a young boy in a little country church, actually not too far from here, and there was a man come to give a message and an invitation, and me and my brothers got saved." And he calls me every year, sometimes twice a year. And I just want to say thank God for people who can remember, who thank God. It's not the man that had the message. It was the man that gave us the message. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm so grateful that I'm here. I'm not glad your pastor's gone. In fact, my wife and I get real anxious to come and hear him preach. But I'm always glad when he invites us to come. And I'm kind of like the old saying is, if you don't invite me, I'll just invite myself and come anyway. And so it's been a great time, a great experience, and we're just happy to be here. And I have a lot of things I can share with you, but I didn't come just to socialize with you. I come to talk about the Lord Jesus. I believe He's the only message. I know He's the only person. For he said, no man can even come to the Father but by him. He made this statement very plain in the scripture. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come to the Father but by me. And I still believe that's true. I'm convinced. I see in America today and in many of the churches around, so-called, that they're substituting everything else the world has to offer and trying to make people feel good and give them a little sense of relief from their sin, pat them on the back, but never tell them how to really get saved. And I want to tell you something, folks. I don't care what programs we have. If we miss telling people how to know Christ as Savior, we've missed the whole thing. I understand there's a lot of other things that are good and great, and we need to teach and live that kind of a life. But, folks, I believe with all of my heart that we're left here for the reason to point men to the Lamb of God. I am convinced over the years of my ministry that if he just saved us to take us to heaven, we'd have went to heaven when we got saved. But he saves us and leaves us here for a reason. And I'll make a statement that a friend of mine made just here recently. Keep in mind, Christians, God's people are indispensable until God is done with us. You think of that. We'll stay here as long as we can be used and God has a purpose for us. When that's over, wake up in glory. Amen? That'll be all right. And I'm saying this morning, in the book of Acts, chapter 16, is a very, very familiar story. I'm not going to read it all, but you'll understand what I'm talking about when we make some comments on it. But in the book of Acts chapter 16, verse 28 and verse 29, verse 30 and 31, the Bible says, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. The Bible says that he spoke out and let people know he was there. Then he called for a light, the jailer did, and called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The blessed answer of that was, believe on the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Folks, nothing could be any more simpler than that. I'm afraid that we, behind the pulpits of America today, we have made salvation so complicated and so hard that take a Philadelphia lawyer to understand what you're talking about. I'm glad I don't have that trouble. I can just barely say a few words. But let me say this morning, in the background of this setting, Paul was a very busy man. Paul was used mightily of the hand of God. As far as I'm concerned, he was one of the greatest missionary preachers recorded in the Bible, without exemption of the Lord Jesus. He was at a place, and you remember, and he was stirring up the town. He was causing havoc in the city, and it brought trouble to their city. But there was a young lady following him around that had an evil spirit within her mind and her heart. And you know what? She made the statement, said, this man is bringing and teaching us the way of salvation. And apparently that lady, after Paul called the evil spirit from her, believed on the message. You know what? It causes trouble sometimes with the worldly system when you get people saved. And this woman then could not be used to bring money into her master in that situation. And it made him mad. And he got a hold of Paul and he said, I'm going to do something to you, and I'm paraphrasing part of this morning. They took Paul and Silas and they brought them before the court and they striped them. They beat them. No telling how many stripes, but many. And after they had striped these men, they put them in the prison. And the prisoner was instructed, you watch them. Don't let them go. Probably if you let them go, your life might be taken. So he put them on the inner part of the prison. Put their legs in chains and bonds. And there he was in the darkness. All because of what? They were a witness for Christ. Let me tell you something, church. Don't think this road is a road of just ease. It's a road of persecution. We're not going to be patted on the back by the worldly system. If you are, you're not living very close. I'm saying, folks, there are times, he said, they'll persecute you even as they have persecuted me. You'll suffer some tribulation. But I find in this reading of the Scripture, they counted it a joy to suffer for the Lord Jesus. And may I say, when we go through some heartaches, we ought to raise hands and praise the Lord with a shout. That we are counted worthy to serve Him, to praise Him, and to live for Him, and to tell the message. And they were in the prison house, as you know, and this is a very familiar story. About the midnight hour, they begin to sing and praise God. I've often wondered what I would have done. I'd have probably been in there whining about it. I'd have probably said, Silas or Paul, if you hadn't been so dogmatic about your religion, we wouldn't even been here. And Paul said, hey, don't worry about that. Let's just have a revival. Right in the middle of the night, at the midnight hour, they begin to sing. They begin to praise the Lord. And let me tell you something. When we get in that condition, the power of God will always come. And while they were doing this, all of a sudden the Bible said there was a great earthquake came. And it shook the foundation of that jail. And the bonds were loosed. And the doors were opened. And the man who was supposed to be watching them had fallen asleep, and he became awake during that time, and he was scared to death. He saw the doors open. He was ready to take his life because he knew he would be held responsible for these prisoners. Took his sword out, ready to commit suicide. And all of a sudden there was a voice from a man of God said, harm not thyself. We are all here. I don't know what that does to you, but it tells me God's people don't run. It tells me that we have a backbone. It tells me we have a message still to tell. Harm not thyself, we are all here. And when that happened, this old jailer came springing in and called for a light. And he fell down before Paul and Silas, trembling. I like that word. You know what it tells me? I believe he's under the power of God's conviction. And let me say something to you very plainly this morning. I don't believe there's any conversion without conviction. Folks, we have too many dried eye conversions, so-called. Too many people shaking somebody's hand. Somebody saying, well, I'm a good person. I'm honest. I don't cheat on my family. Let me tell you something. You can have all that and split hell wide open. I'm saying, folks, I believe people have to come and be convicted of their sin. be sorry for and turn away from. First of all, there was a question asked. He come. He saw that them men could have disappeared. They could have been out of the jailhouse. They were there. And he saw something. He heard something. And when he came in and fell before them, trembling, he asked a question. Now listen what he said. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? One of the most important questions that a man could ask. What must I do to be saved? When I realized this, it showed me that he realized he needed to be saved. And I'll share with you very quickly this morning. Nobody will ever get saved until they realize they're lost. Until they understand they need to be saved. But this jailer saw something that he never saw before. Because the ordinary prisoners would have run, got out of there and hid somewhere. But they stayed put because I believe they had the wisdom of God in their heart and life. There was a man who needed salvation, a man who needed to hear the message. And they stayed and told the message. And he gave him the answer. And the command was, believe on the Lord Jesus. I like that simple story. Nothing deep about it. It's just a plain truth. Shows he was under conviction. Shows he was in danger. It showed he was willing to obtain salvation. Now may I say to us this morning, loved ones, people don't have to be saved. You don't have to go to heaven. May I put it as blunt as I know it? You can die and go to hell if you want to. But it showed to me that he had been touched by the power of God. There was something moving in his life. He had a desire to know how to be saved. And I want to say, folks, he asked the question. What must I do to be saved? It reminds me of another story in the Bible. In the book of Matthew chapter 19, you'll find the story of a rich young ruler we call. What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And they said, why callest me thou good? There is none good but one. That's God. And really what he was trying to say to them, hey, I and God are one. We're the same person. And there he told him what to do and what not to do. And he said, all these things I've kept my youth up, but I still lack something. What lackest I yet? He told him, if he be perfect, go sell what thou hast and give to the poor. Come up, take up thy cross and follow me. But that man went away sorrowful. But he did ask the question. Now let me say this. Not a good thing can you do to be saved. You know why? Because we're no good to start with. That'll pull the rug out from under our feet. When we realize there is none good, no, not one. Oh, listen to me. Most people think today, hey, look at me, how proud I am, how good I am, what I've done. Build me up. Self-esteem. I want to tell you something. All we are is God's creation that sinned against God, deserved death, hell, and judgment without any mercy, and just a poor beggar come and say, hey, what can I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus. Amen. And friend, I want to tell you, the message is still the same. I'm glad he didn't say, go join the Baptist church somewhere. Go join the Pentecostal movement somewhere. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus. Friend, that tells me, as I said a moment ago, he's the only one. Dogmatic and narrow-minded am I about that. I'm saying, folks, this morning, he was willing to be saved. He wanted to be saved. He was in danger of eternity without Christ. And I want to say, salvation is a wonderful thing. When I look at salvation, it has a lot to talk about and think about. But I want to say the command was, the question was, what must I do to be saved? The command was, believe. Now the word belief here has a deep meaning, folks. If we just use it lightly, as most people do, you'll never know the meaning of believing. You know why? The devil even believes. And he believes sometimes probably more than some of us do. He believes and trembles. But real believing is agreeing with what this Bible says. Folks, let me tell you something. The answer to the problems is get back to the book. When we get back to the book and learn how to live right and do right and act right and look right, I'm saying, folks, things can change. But there is a believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus. He didn't say believe on yourself. Believe on your money. Believe on your health. He said believe on the Lord Jesus and to be saved. In other words, just simply believe what the Scripture says. Amen. Folks, I don't understand all this Scripture. I wish I did. I will someday, amen. When I get to heaven, I'll know I won't have to ask a thing up there. It'll all be heavenly knowledge. But let me say this. Believe the good news. Now, what is the good news? It's the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, it's all centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He's the only way to heaven. And so I'm saying today, believe the gospel, believe the good news. It means to rest our whole life and our whole salvation completely upon Him. Folks, don't try to do it yourself. Don't try to work it out yourself. Don't try to depend on somebody else. I want to say, depend on the Lord Jesus and lay your life and your thoughts and your deeds and your actions, everything you are, everything you expect to be, lay them upon Him. That's what believing is. Just a little simple thing. Probably not a one of you would sit in these pews today if you didn't believe they'd hold you up. Boy, that's deep theological teaching. I'm glad I thought of that. But let me say, folks, this is a simple illustration of what He wants us to do with Him. Believe on Him. Lay all that we have on Him. You say, is that possible? Well, all of our sin has already been laid on Him. And because Him tasting that sin and becoming sin, that we might become the righteousness of God, then we, through faith, believing, agreeing with Him, lay our whole life upon Him, for Him to take care of, provide for us, and meet our needs, and thank God He does. I get amused at people talking about how the world was created. And all the billions of years. They don't have no more idea about that than the hound's tooth they're talking about. You know what? God created it. All things. Listen to me. Folks, it's not hard to understand. The word all means all. Somebody said, what's the Greek translation of the word all? All. All things were made by Him, for Him. And by all things consist because of His power. And I'm saying, folks, today, the gospel is the good news. We can be saved. We're in His hands. Our life is in Him. and we can depend upon Him. And I'm as sure as heaven if I've already been there, because listen to me, it's already restored or stored up for me. And I'm saying, all because I asked the question and He gave the command, and thank God I believed. Simple gospel preaching. But let me tell you something, folks. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now here was a man who probably maybe had already murdered somebody. The jailer probably helped stripe a number of people. A lot of people said, well, can God save a person like that? If He couldn't, He couldn't have saved us. Think about it. I want to say, folks, today, I like this verse of Scripture as much as any in the Scripture. Whosoever, the jailer, the drunkard, the whoremonger, the sorcerer, whatever you want to put them under the, what category, I'm saying this morning, the promise is whosoever. Now this man called upon Him. God saved him. And the Bible refers to us. Then whosoever. That meant every boy, every girl, every man, every woman on the face of the earth from time past to time future. If they really call on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that and mean it with all their heart and don't play games with God, He said, shall be saved. I like that. I'm saved from hell, but I'm saved unto something. And that's a place called heaven. Boy, won't that be good. I don't want my hair to be gray up there or not, Donnie. But whatever color it is, it'll be all right. But I want to say thank God for that salvation. Be saved. That's the promise was given. He said, shall be saved. Now let me say this. When we get saved, salvation has to do with something. Number one, it has to do with the soul and body. Think of this. Remember this. When I got saved, I was saved completely. But I'm still wearing the same old body. That sounds a little different, doesn't it? But you know what? He's not done with me yet. Someday I'll depart from this body and I'll have a brand new body. You know why? He saves us to the uttermost. And the word uttermost means here in the Scripture, He saves us completely. Woo, I like that. You don't mind if I holler once in a while, do you? Praise the Lord. When He got a hold of me, Brother Donnie, He got a hold, not just my arm or leg or eyeball at the time. He just wrapped me up and saved the whole thing of me. Amen. Saved completely. Thank God for that. It has to do with the body. My soul is safe in His hands from that time on forevermore. The body I'm still wearing today, sometimes I wonder why I'm still here. But I still have this body. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I have a little trouble of mine. Once in a while it gets in the way. Sometimes I don't do or say the things I know I ought to. Now don't look so religious out there. You're in the same shape. We have a trouble with this body. And God made provisions for our problems and our troubles. He made the statement, I would that you sin not, but if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, which is what? Jesus Christ the righteous. Not the preacher, not the pope, not the rabbi. It's the Lord Jesus. And folks, I want to tell you, that's why he's sitting at the right hand of God today, making intercession for you and I, that we can come to him in his name. He pleads our case before the Father, and the slate is made clean, and we stand before him justified. Amen. Thank the Lord for salvation. That's what real salvation to do. You know, I'm scared today. I'm bothered. A lot of people are telling me they're saved. There seems to be no change. No difference. They go to the same old places. They look the same old way. They do the same old things. I don't know about you, but my Bible teaches a salvation different than that. Therefore, if any man be in what? In Christ. Not in the denominational church. In Christ. In fact, I'm sure I've made the statement here. I count the church every born-again believer. You know how you get into that? Not by signing your name on a book somewhere. You're born into it. And how you're born into it? Not by the will of the flesh nor the will of man, but by the will of God. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. How can I be born? I'm an old man. Can I enter the second time in my mother's womb and be born? Jesus wasn't talking about that. He said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. He's talking about the real birth from heaven. That's what the meaning of born again means. A birth from glory. He give us power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe? Is that what Paul said? Believe on his name. Thank God, folks. The plan of salvation is so real and so simple, not anybody should understand. But see, he saved me, I'll have a... my soul is in his hands. My body will be changed. And sometimes I can't hardly wait. Salvation also deals with time and eternity. Let me just share some good news with you. When you really get saved, you're saved forever. Isn't that marvelous? Thank God for that. Right now, in this time, I'm saved. But I'm saved throughout all eternity. Praise the name. Hey, I've got one of the brightest futures of any person on the face of the earth. My eternity is wonderful. My future is great. I have the most beautiful place to live. I have a mansion. I have a street of gold. I have a Savior. I have family there. Listen to me. A real salvation will take care of time and eternity. You see, it's either heaven or hell. Folks, most people have no idea what's out there. They think, well, if somebody else makes it, I'll make it. I'm as good as them people in the church, and they may be as good as some of us. But let me tell you something, folks. Doesn't depend on that at all. Depends on our faith in Jesus. And may I just say this very bluntly? There's only two places to go. One of them's heaven, one's hell. And every person in this building this morning is headed for one place or the other. Oh, you say, I got time to make up my mind. No, don't boast thyself of tomorrow. You know, when we have time to make up our mind, right now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Listen to me. I believe that this jailer could have said, no, not now. I'll wait a while. He had probably split hell wide open. But at that moment of time when God was dealing in his heart, and by the way, let me just make the statement, you can't get saved without him dealing in your heart. He brings you to the Lord Jesus. Salvation has this in mind also, a deliverance from sin. Oh, thank God. You know what? I'm not a sinner anymore. Now I say, wait a minute. You just got through saying you have trouble. You commit, well, I do commit sin. But even a saint does that once in a while. Amen? Do you realize every believer is a saint in the sight of God? Thank the Lord for that. He changed me from a sinner to a saint. And that's what real salvation, it delivers us from sin. It delivers us from all condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation in them who are in the Lord Jesus. Hey, he's taken the condemnation away. No wonder he said the peace of God that passes all understanding shall abide in your heart. I'm saying, folks, this morning, it's shouting time. It's glory time when we realize that we are not under condemnation. We have been set free. We are free indeed because of our faith and our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. We are delivered from the power of sin. Again, let me say, not a one of us, but what will step off in a mud hole once in a while. But aren't you so glad there's someone living inside you? Say, hey, Oscar, that's wrong. Get out of there. How can I get? Hey, I'm here to help you. You depend upon me. I'll take you out there and cleanse you up. And I'll deliver you from the power of sin. He'll deliver me from the love of sin. You see, a lot of people say, boy, I love what I'm doing. I'm having a great time. The Bible said it only lasts for a little while. Then it'll deliver us from the practice of sin. You know, there's no reason for any of God's children to continually walk in sin. Think about it. Let me share this with you. He'll take care of the past, the present, and the future. That's what real salvation does. And this is what Paul was saying to this man. Better you take his life. You don't have to do that. You just give your life to Jesus. You believe on him. He'll take care of you. He'll take and forgive you of your past. He'll take care of you now. And he'll take care of you in the future. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm saying this morning, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, who had delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. What a scripture. What a scripture. This man was ready to take his life. He was afraid he's going to be killed because the prisoners were gone. But they come and heard the message of salvation. And Paul was simply saying, hey, Mr. Jailer, he'll take care of your past, your sinful life. He'll take care of you right now. You think you're in trouble. But you know what? He'll give you and take care of your future. And I don't know what's going to happen to me physically in this life. None of us do. But I just want to say this. Praise the name of Jesus. Whatever happens is all right. Don't ever question what God does. You're going through heartache and trouble and temptations and sorrow. You say, boy, I feel sorry for me. If you're really saved, let me tell you something. God is polishing you up. He's grinding the burrs off of you. He's getting ready to make you completely spotless. And when that moment comes, up and out of here we go. Amen. So He takes care of the past, my sin in the past. You know what? I have trouble once in a while of looking back at my past life. And what I see is not good. But God said, I'll take care of that. Remember what the psalmist said in the last verse of Psalm 23? Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Really what He was saying to us, people, don't look back. That's all behind you. Your sin is forgiven. Your sin is forgotten. God has taken care of you. Don't look back, because all is following you. It's the goodness and mercy of God. And that old past can't get to you, because it has to go through the goodness and mercy of God to get there. Praise the Lord. What a blessing of our future. Hath delivered us from the past, the present, and give us the future. Then may I say, and I'll try to wind up here in a minute, this brings three little words to my mind, and I don't know, I love to, I can't preach, but I love to. I can spend the whole afternoon here with you. Brings three words to my mind. They are this. One of them is justification. The other one is sanctification. And another one, glorification. Past, present, and future. Amen. Past, present, and future. When we got saved, when we were born again, He made us just in His sight. You remember the old writer in the Old Testament by the name of Job? How can a man who was born of woman be just and right in the sight of God? Get saved. God justifies you. You know what that really means? He puts you in the position as if you had never sinned. Glory to God. Folks, it's worth crying out about. It's worth shouting about. Hey, real justification comes when God forgives you and wipes the slate clean and cleanses your heart and life by His precious blood. I'm saying we stand before Him justified. That's justification. Then I come to the second word, sanctification. That is being set apart. And let me say something to you. Don't hear much preaching on separation anymore. Everything goes. Just pat everything on the back and flow with the crowd. But I want to say something, folks. Pardon the expression. We need to be a little oddballs once in a while. Amen? Need to be different. Sanctification is being set apart. And it is a daily thing. We are being sanctified every day as we grow in the Lord. Someday full sanctification will come when I get my new body. Thank the Lord for that. So we see we've been justified. We are being sanctified in this present world. He watches over us. He keeps you from evil. No wonder the psalmist David said, I will fear no evil, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So we have justification. We have sanctification. Then, as I said a moment ago, thank God, glorification. I can't wait to see my new body. I can't wait to see how it's going to feel. Listen to me. I won't have to wear these anymore. And I ain't going to take out these. I'll have new ones someday. Hey, listen to me, folks. Glorification. Somebody said, what are we going to be? We're going to be just like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen. What a hope. All because somebody said the message, somebody believed, and so they had experienced justification, experienced sanctification, and will experience glorification. Thank the Lord for these simple truths in the Word of God. And I want to say, folks, what a thrill. I ask the question, will you ask the question yourself, what must I do to be saved? Now look over this crowd. Thank you for being here. If I knew I was going to preach, I probably wouldn't have come. But thank you for being here. It's a joy to have you here. But possibly in this size crowd, there's somebody maybe who needs to be saved. Think about it. You say, oh, I think we're all saved. Don't think about it. Be sure whether you are or not. If you are not absolutely sure you're going to heaven when you breathe your last breath and your heart beats the last beat, believe on the Lord today. What will happen? Results. This man believed. And he took care of Paul and Silas' wounds on their body. He took Paul and Silas home with him. And the Bible teaches me that Paul expounded the Scripture, the Word of God, to the whole household. Because when he made that statement to the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So he went into the home of this Philippian jailer, expounded and taught them the word, and they received it joyfully. They fellowshiped together around the table. They were baptized. All because real salvation brings forth real results. I don't know about you. I'm thrilled to death that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm thrilled today that I'm saved. I mean, folks, this is not a burden for me to carry. Hey, His burden is easy. His burden is light. Sometimes we leave the wrong impression. Hey, it's such a burden to walk with Christ and serve the Lord. No, the way of the transgressor is hard. But His yoke is easy and His burden is light. You know why? Because when I think I'm having a problem, He's carrying me along. I'm kind of like an old stubborn oxen. Sometimes I want to lay down and rest a while. He said, son, it's time to go. How can I go? He just takes me along. What a joy we have. All because of a very plain, clear-cut message of salvation. Friends, I'm convinced. I travel all across our country. Preached in several countries around the world. And I want to tell you something, folks. If there's ever one thing we need to get back to the simple, fundamental truths of this Bible. We need to get back there. And folks, I think the devil has hoodwinked us. We try to let people know how smart we are, how highly educated we are, how we can pronounce those big words, how we can bring out something new that nobody else thought about. Well, we can't do that. Nothing new under the sun anyway. I'm saying, folks, we need to get back just some old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost preaching in the Word of God and telling people they're lost and they're going to die and go to hell unless they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and justified and later glorified. That's what it's all about. And so we find the jailer rejoiced. and his whole household. All because he really saw something in Paul and Silas that he hadn't seen anybody else. Let me close with this thought. In the book of Psalms, chapter 40, verses 1 and 2 and part of 3, the psalmist David said this, "He waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined his ear. And he heard my cry. And he brought me up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a solid rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God, that what many should see and fear and trust in the Lord. For blessed is the man that make the Lord his trust." Even though the jailer heard him sing and praise, he not only heard that, but he saw something in it. "Put a new song in my mouth, many what should see it and fear and trust in the Lord." I said earlier in the service, they could have run. But I think one of the great impressions upon that man is, after you heard him sing and pray, they were there. They had a story to tell. Folks, I want to tell you something. Don't run, just tell the story. And every one of us have the great honor and the privilege as born-again believers to tell somebody how to get saved. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't understand the ins and outs about it." Tell them what happened to you. That's probably one of the most powerful testimonies that a man could ever give. Like the guy in the book of John, chapter 11. "I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found." Hey, that's good enough. You can always tell them, "Hey, I was headed for hell. Now I'm headed for heaven." How did it happen, son? I just simply put my faith and trust and relied on Jesus. And he did it all for me. Oh, listen to me, folks. What a precious Bible we have. What a precious message we have. And that is, ask the question, obey the command, receive the promise, and the results will be there. Are you ready for heaven, folks? If you're not, today's the day to do it. Just simply ask Jesus into your life. You say, "Is it that simple?" It is if you mean it. If you don't try to play games with him. An honest heart always gets the attention of Christ. Thank the Lord. Stand with me, if you will, please. I never try to preach a message or give a testimony or whatever without trying to say to people, whosoever, you can come if you want to. It might be somebody here this morning say, "Well, I've made a decision, but I'm not really sure whether I'm going to heaven or not." A lot of people in that condition, you know that? If you're not sure, you ought to come this morning. Just kneel or stand here and say, "Lord, I want to know." If you've never truly been born again by the Spirit of God, you need to come and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake." You see, even when you get saved, it's for His honor, His glory. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that took the stripes. He's the one that shed the blood. So every real salvation uplifts and honors the name of Jesus. You need that in your heart today, would you come? You might say, "Preacher, I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm just not living. There's some things I need to cut out of my life." Why don't you just come and say, "Lord, take them away." Talk to him about it. It's all right to come pray. You know that? He'll not chase you out of the building. That's why we're here. And if there's a need, we're going to sing a verse or two of invitation to Him. You come. Only as the Holy Spirit tells you what to do. What number we got, Brother Van?
329.
Number 329.